It's a pleasure to be here again. It was, June of this past year, that the last time that the pastor had asked me to come up here and asked me if I had anything. And I remember the last time I had the message I had was on the door. And you all know I'm the doorman. That was original. And I told you the word door in scriptures is mentioned, door and plural doors is mentioned over 200 times. So. And we covered, I think, the door of sin. So we got a ways to go. So anyway, on that note, this evening's message, the title of it is "A Door of Salvation," we're not going to jump around. I promise you a whole bunch. I have a few, one key verse, I'm going to share with you a couple of the points that I hope and pray to make this evening. And the first point would be the what the devil tries to do to first of all, he tries to prevent us from ever getting saved. That's his primary mission on planet Earth. He hates mankind. He hates God Almighty and Jesus Christ and anything done in Jesus' name, from Adam to the cross and to where we are presently. So it's a battle. It's a spiritual war. And I want to share a couple of key points that the Lord showed me. Before our salvation, you know that, what goes on, and I know what happened. I gave a testimony of what happened, what the Lord did in my life, how I was a servant of sin, and so forth. And the next point is the three S's of salvation, and I don't know if this is talked about. I know it sure wasn't when I got saved, when I come to Christ and asked Him to come into my heart. The first part would be surrender, and then there's two other subsequent parts. So these two key points I hope to hit tonight, and there is a third, and it's our walk in faith and to live a faith-filled life and a spirit-filled life. I hope if I don't get to that tonight, the next time I'm up here, I promise you that'll be the title of that message will be "The Door of Faith." So before I get started, Brother Robert, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? Thank you. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, if you will. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 9. And in the context of this verse, prior to this, Jesus in chapter 9 had healed a blind man. And he healed this blind man on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees were up they were just going crazy trying to catch, Jesus, the Son of God, who they rejected, who in the process of rejecting, performed this miracle and pretty much in front of them. And, and they're still trying to find fault in their Messiah. And so that's the background. And then Jesus comes in chapter 10 in the midst of them and trying to express to them that, you people are spiritually blind. You just don't get it. And we have the same thing going on in this present church age, spiritual blindness. And we all know the blindness comes from our adversary, who is blind in the minds of men, so that they won't see, so they'll never walk through that door of salvation or hear that word of saving grace or the grace of God. So the adversary prevents. And so that's, the background. Jesus was, in chapter 10, he deals with them with a parable. And that's where we're at. So let me begin in verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them," the Pharisees, again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." In verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And this verse here alone, I spent the last 2 days just not picking it apart, but the more I studied just individual words and the in the how the door, what it represents to me, how I came to salvation through a door. Remember, I told you people how I stood in the doorway and looked up to God and said, "Is this all there is?" And then many years later, he opened a door 2 years later to a job and the man that led me to Christ. So it was a time period, but doors were important in my walk. And that door to sin, I opened that at 5 years old and lived in within that confines of that door for all those years. About 22 or 23, stood in that doorway. And then it took, from 1984 to 96, 12 years for me to walk through that door into a Bible-believing church. And by the, by hearing the word preached, and I was already so under conviction, so tired of my sin, I had a duffel bag full of sin on my back that I didn't make the altar call because I was a coward, and I was new to, I hate to say, use the word religion. I'm not going to use it. Fundamental Bible-believing church that this was. I'm not going to use the word religion, but I in the confines of a group of believers. To me, I was a XRC. And that church was all about spectacle and pomp, and it was a ceremonial baloney is what it was. So I didn't know what to expect. And the first time I ever walked through that door, it was a door of my salvation, and I knew I was under conviction. I was fed up with my sin, so I was ready to accept my Savior. And that's where I'm sure everybody in here tonight, I'm pretty sure everybody here is saved. You had to come to that same place in your life, and you walked through that door. Jesus is that door. And you hear, I heard it by the preaching of the word. My buddy spent 12 years trying to witness to me. And he didn't push the Bible down my throat. He was just a kind and gentle and meek. He became my dearest, most best friend outside of my wife, in the flesh. God's put some good people in my life. And I'm thankful. And in this church, man, I'm home. I got some pasture. It's right here. Amen. And I can go in and out that door. With liberality. The thing is, when I go out that door in Jesus' name, I have him in me, and I in him now, and I have that's a conscious part of my life. So I can go out into the world without fear of the world consuming me. And that's that pasture that Jesus is talking about. He said, my sheep have that pasture. And you know what, another verse, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, I'll read it for you. King David. These verses, when I study this, and the Lord shows me these verses, and how this book, God's Word dovetails together so perfectly, the finest carpenter or the best welder in the world couldn't join two pieces. I mean, it's Scripture. To have it woven so tightly together, it just, I'm still amazed. I'm in awe at the word. Anyway, listen to Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. It's like, come on. It's like, Before I got saved, most unsaved people, most of the world, they know a few verses of Scripture. John 3:16 would be one, and Psalm 23. They have no clue what Psalm. But just this description, I used to think, man, that's got to be what heaven's like. I used to fish, man. I used to be a fisherman. Any spare moment, you can ask my wife. A church for me was going fishing on Sunday morning. I said, I'm going to go out there and talk to God, while I'm fishing. I wasn't saved. I had no clue what I was doing. But I did talk to God, and maybe he heard that. Maybe he said, that boy's got some potential, maybe somewhere down the road. And because I always believed in God since I was 8 years old. I just didn't know his son. And organized religion played a part in keeping me from knowing his son, as is what's going on today in the world, as it's been since Adam and Eve. So, Cain and Abel, study out Cain and Abel, and wanting to do religion my way, Cain said, I'm going to do it my way. I'll worship you my way. Here's a fruit basket. How's that, Lord? That didn't fly with God. So that's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. But looking at Psalm 23, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, I don't know about you folks, but there's times, it's not so much getting physically tired of this world, but the I get spiritually tired because I know the adversary. I know how he works now. Spent all this time, almost seven years at the door, 6 years and so many months at the door, at the post, and welcoming folks in. And unfortunately, I've seen more departures than what stay. And you know what I say? I say, no, you know what it is? We're like Navy SEALs, and this is the Alamo and whatever. We're surrounded by 10,000, you know, adversaries, and we're going to stand. We're going to stand till he comes. That just makes me more determined. But that going in and going out, I got to reflecting on it. And also, it kind of was just a sign of people that don't stick in church, or they want to do the... See, them doors, they're on hinges. They don't revolve. They open, you know, one way, and then they close one way. And I believe in New Jerusalem, in Old Jerusalem, when it was a completely walled city, the gates of that city. I believe I couldn't testify to this. I didn't study archaeology or the structure of that old building, but I believe that those gates were on hinges, you know, for a reason. I don't believe they had that automatic stuff they got in the hospitals where them doors go whoosh with air pressure, electric motors. And you know what? I hate the revolving doors. The ones that go, yeah, you get in one of them at a hospital, or you get dizzy. You know, it's like, well, should I get off, or how do I get off this thing? But that's confusion. And you know who the author of confusion? That's the way I look at doors now. I'm real suspect of doors. You know, because I spent a lot of time walking through some dark doors into some darkness. Took me some dark places. I'm real aware of some doors. Be aware of some doors. That's why I started this study. It started in Genesis chapter 4 in Sunday school. With the children, and then as I got into it, it ain't stopped yet. It's like the Lord give me a whole bunch. I got so bear with me. I want to, you know, again, let's have a blast with it. It's like a journey through the scriptures, and the Lord laid this message, you know, the door of salvation, and primarily, you know, we get saved, but I want to focus a little bit on what happens after we get saved. That first 6 months is critical in a new Christian's being, walking with the Lord, his fellowship. The devil knows that. The whole, what the devil wants to do, first and foremost, he wants to, in the verse, in back in John, you know, chapter 10, all that ever came before me, verse 8, are thieves and robbers, is what Jesus is telling the Pharisees. And you know what he's telling them? You're robbing people of their salvation because you're holding down the Old Testament law and you're making an add to the law, because Judaism, at the point of when Jesus returns, Jesus came to save that which was lost, which was Israel. He came for his, for God's chosen people, and they rejected him. But he came because they were lost. Does anybody notice? I know we're waiting for the rapture, and this is, you know, the end of the church age, technically, been about near 2,000 years, and we're all hoping and praying that, you know, that the Lord comes back. And me, I just, now, I got a new lease on life, and my personal walk, I wasted 10 years saved, I backslid 10 years. And when I come back to the Lord, them three S's, surrender, submittal, and service, I surrendered, but I never committed to submit to God's will over my will in my life. Didn't do that. I was like Cain. I said, you know what? I think I could do religion my way. I'm going to pick and choose. And that was the beginning of the end. When I walked, after 4 months, after getting saved, I turned around, got mad in church, in that particular church I was in, not because of the church, because the devil used two kids behind me to play up during one of the Sunday services. And you know, when you first get saved, you're like in that book. You're in there Sunday. You got tunnel vision. You don't see no one left, right. I don't know who greeted me. I know who the pastor is, but I can't remember his face and the direct message. But I had tunnel vision. Then going to church every Sunday thereafter, and I was like, man, I don't want to. You know, I want to get fed. And the devil conveniently, about 3 months, he said, I got something for this dummy. Nobody knows he got saved. He ain't sharing that. The pastor don't even know. Because they weren't a real warm and welcoming. I don't think they knew even as a visitor. Even if I filled out a visitor card, they never acknowledged me, never called my house. So as a church, be welcoming. That's what the Lord impressed upon me. You make those people smile. And you greet them by their name. I apologize. I still can't remember most of your names. Jordan, I'm sorry. From the pulpit, please forgive me. It's like, no, I love you. And that's maybe why the door, or the God posted me there. Because it's important that we acknowledge one another. And It was good. I had my daughters come. They were teenagers at the time. Come to church. My wife come to church with me one time. But unfortunately, there was no fellowship. It wasn't a warm and inviting church. So I'm not blaming it on the church. It was me because I didn't make the altar call or what. And I don't think that matters, because the pastor said, if there's anybody sitting in their seat there that's under conviction, by this message and wants to come to Christ, ask Christ in their heart. And I'm like, well, I didn't know. I didn't do that. It was like, that was me. And I thought he was talking right to me, because I didn't know what an altar call was. How would I know what an altar call? The last altar call I made, there was a priest holding this golden chalice up, and doing all this sign language and stuff and saying, eat this, eat this. And then, it's like, as a kid, I didn't know. I was new to church. My last experience with church was, it was scary. Let's put it that way. So that's my excuse for not making the altar. I'm a tough guy. I'm not gonna walk up there but it took so many more years for the Lord to break my will, and then to have me to submit to His will. So it's surrender and submittal, and then finally service. There's three aspects to our salvation. And the devil, if he can't get your soul, he wants to stop your service and he wants to stop your submittal. So it's the battle doesn't stop once you get saved. A lot of Christians or believers think, well, I got a guaranteed, my soul, I got a guarantee. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. And that's true. You can't lose your soul, but there's a bunch of stuff you can lose in the flesh before you get to die. And that's what a lot of believers, they take that, not serious, I think, because I've seen enough come in and out. And I know it breaks the pastor's heart greater than we'll ever understand. And it breaks my heart, because it's kind of a, I get to know him and he gets to know him better, and the Lord knows us all best. And it's like, oh man, I wonder what I did. Did I not say something right? Did I offend him at the door? The pastor thinks the same way from the pulpit. And it's like, quit beating yourself up, And I talked to him about it, and he's like, yeah, don't be too serious. And I was like, don't beat yourself up. And it's like, no, I know. But because our pastor, he's our shepherd for this flock, in the institution of the local church. And we got a high heavenly shepherd who's over, the pastor. And it's like a sheepfold. That's why Jesus used that illustration. Well, why do you think David used the illustration 1,000 years before that? David was a shepherd. That was his first job. So he had on-the-job experience. And it was also prophecy of Jesus Christ's future. But I stand on that verse. It's like, man, the comfort, and that I always had that picture, man, heaven, you know what it is? I have a fishing pole, that still water, that pool of still water, that green grass. I'll be sitting against a tree, and all I got to do is just reel it in, and it's like, so that was my picture of heaven early on with that verse. And it really is that pasture, to have that comfort of your salvation. But there's more to it than just getting saved, I want to share another verse that, for me, and I think I hold Jesus Christ to this verse, because it's a promise from Him to all of us. From Matthew, you don't have to turn there, Matthew 11, verses 28, 29. Everybody knows these verses, but to me, they have a special meaning and attention, because I pray almost every day, dear Lord, hold me up. And verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's like that, it's not cliche, and I hate to, but it's such a simple verse, and it's like, wow, you could have found one that's more profound. But this is profound. Look at what the verse is saying, and then does it apply to you? I'm so thankful I'm saved that I've never been happier in my life. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, that joy and that peace and that gentleness and that meekness, those are attributes of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what we do in religion today and in the church today? We're looking for the gifts of the Spirit. That's where the charismatics went off the tracks. And I have the sign because I want to be something special. you know, in the eyes of God. It's like, no, Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus Christ. Whatever his attributes are, that's what I would desire to grow into. And that's what the fruits of the Spirit express. So, and that's Galatians 5:22. And then prior to Galatians 5:22, from Galatians 5:19 to 22 is a whole nother story. That's the sins of the flesh that Bible-believing Christians can partake in. And we usually partake in those sins as we're going in and out that door. And we're not going in and out to the pasture. You know, you're not a complete, you don't have that complete mindset of service and of submittal. So maybe you missed one part of that, and that's why you're still going out in the world looking for that fulfillment. And I did that. I did that for 10 years, and all I ended up was deeper and deeper into a dark, dark place that I personally, with an excavator, couldn't dig myself out of. And the Lord said, are you there yet? And I was, after 10 years, finally, I said, yeah, I know. I missed something here. And I got back to going to church. My neighbors were affiliated with that monstrosity down the street, unfortunately. But it was fortunate for me that I knew I had to get back to my Savior. And they said, come on over. And the devil's like, yeah, go with them. You know, that's pretty cool. Brand new building. You know, they got a coffee bar with a high emphasis on bar, B-A-R. You'll like it. They got that kind of music you just love. You know, and I was like, yeah, I'll try it. And it was October of 2006 that my wife and I went to our first service. And I don't know if it was that first, I want to say it was October 20th that I sitting in their fancy seats, which aren't, there's no pews in all these modern new churches. They got these fancy chairs, interlocking chairs. And it's a gymnasium style feel to it. There's no really, it's an entertainment facility. So, but I sat there and under great conviction between, again, not the preaching. There is no preaching in those churches. It's entertainment. So I wasn't under the conviction. I was just under that personal conviction between me and the Lord. And I said, okay, I'm ready now. I'm ready. I submit my will for yours. You work in my life. I'm going to submit. You know me, Lord, hoghead, hardhead. And I want to serve you. I want to serve you the rest of my do what you will, you know, with these hands. And that I pray every day, Lord, make me a useful tool in your hand tonight for the Lord. I ain't much. I ain't, you know, these poor people. I it's a good thing. It's mostly there's no visitors and everybody knows me, and they don't expect much. But I expect much. Please feed your sheep. That's how I pray, and that's how I start every day. I got two good hands. I got one eye, one ear. Do what you can with this, Lord. And we've been having a blast. Door knocking. Another story on doors. I had a great encounter today with a woman that married a Jewish fellow, and she converted to Judaism. And that got the devil was in that, though, because he was using that. I was trying to witness to one of the other employees who I've been became friendly with and really personable with for the last 2 years, and this woman is just another one of the servers that we got from, you know, they know my wife and I. They know we're born again Bible. I've seeded that place with at least 400 chick tracks and our church tracks combined. And I actually asked the one gentleman today, I said, hey, what are you doing with them tracks? You know, I'm giving you these. He said, no, I read them. And then I pass them out. I pass them around. I'm like, praise God. And then, you know, 5 minutes before that, I'm talking to the woman that converts to Judaism. And right before I could say, and what do you people do? What did you do with Jesus? What do you do with Jesus? She gets up and bolts. You know, the devil yanked her out of there because I got the verses going, and it's like, I want to debate. But she's on the clock. She's sitting there next to me. I'm talking to my wife, the other server. He'll come and sit down. The manager's looking at both of them. And it's like, but anyway, what she did say right before she got up, and this is the devil speaking through her, you know, she knows every component of Judaism. And she says, you know, there is three, because I asked her, I was joking before that. I said, hey, in your house, you know, I didn't know she was a convert then. But I said, do you guys like put up a Christmas tree than a Hanukkah bush? And she breaks out laughing. Huh? And the other guy was standing, the other sir, he goes, what's a Hanukkah bush? I said, it's something I just made up. I don't know what it was. I said, no, it's a Jewish Christmas tree. And no, And I don't know if she took offense, but she said, no, we don't put up a Christmas tree. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she's like, the other server, you know, like teasing a little bit. And she says, well, you know, the burning bush. I said, that's good. I said, you know some Bible. You know, and she didn't respond to that. But anyway, before I could mention Jesus' name, she bolted out of there. But before she did, she said, well, I said, well, how do you, you know, the tenets of Judaism? She said, no, today there's Orthodox Jews, then there's the intermediate Jews, and then there's a really watered down, and I'm like, oh, so there's different standards. I'm like, wow, that sounds like Islam, and that sounds like Christianity. Not Bible Christianity, that's what we are, but the Roman, you know, version of Christianity. And she says, oh, yeah, no, it's good. I'm not Orthodox. And I said, oh, neither hot. I'm thinking neither hot nor cold. You just, you know, But anyway, then she says, and you know, the rabbi that did the what do the Jewish males do at 12? Bar mitzvah. Said he performed the rabbi that performed the bar mitzvah, my husband's bar mitzvah, he married us, and he's gay. And it was like, I said, that's when, you know, and I was going to say, what do you do? And she just got up and left. I couldn't even, so I'm like, you know what, you dirty, stinking dog, I know what you did. You're right there. You denied me the opportunity to at least see, you know, say Jesus' name, you know, in her presence. But I have been given her tracts too. And so maybe they debate, you know, behind the scenes on their breaks. I don't know. But they know my wife and I are born again Bible believing Christians. They do know that, you know, for a certainty. And they seem to enjoy our company because we've been going there for 10 years, and I've known these two probably, I don't know, I want to say 3 years. That, you know, but primarily the male, his name's I'll use it, Albin, been witness to him too. And I believe he's coming around. He's about ready to make the visit. And I've presented the gospel on one occasion to him and to all those workers in that restaurant that'll sit down and talk. Even some of the patrons. So we have a good relationship. Trying to get the gospel out in that theater. So, but the devil's at work. He doesn't want, Brother Todd before service talked about, you know, a Catholic fellow that got mad when you hear the truth and you find out that your parents lied to you and your traditions of your religious experience in this country and any other country, it's pretty much not the truth. They take offense. And I see this, we door knock. I've been door knocking now for almost 7 years. Consistently, Brother Tom and I had a great time this past Monday. About 4 or 5 doors were open. Again, the door is the bomb. It really is. My life is centered around doors. Now, in Jesus' name, and we've had some great dialogue. The people that I tell Robert and Thomas or whoever I'm with, I said we have 3 to 30 seconds to present the gospel. We have, that's the time frame to get at least Jesus' name mentioned. At least we got to get Jesus' name mentioned. And you say you can't mention Jesus' name or anything. And I said I can mention within 3 seconds. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's way under 3 seconds. So that's the ultimate goal is at least get Jesus' name out there. But Monday we had about 5 doors. I remember one of the gentlemen's names. They listened to that brief, in that brief encounter, the why we're knocking at the door. They opened the door to salvation unto you. Jesus said, go ye out into all the world. And Tom and I were going, you know, like at one point I said, wow, I hope we're not bombarding them. But Thomas was on fire and then I was. And it's like, and the week before that I had Brother Robert, Thomas and I, and we come across the only saved Catholic I've ever met, and I'm 56 years old, but in this ministry, this part of it, I grew up in a Catholic, never met a saved Catholic. I went to Catholic school, never got the gospel, or I didn't even know who the 12 apostles were. So something was missing there. And we met 2 weeks ago, a professing saved Catholic. I met a Messianic Jew this year, a professing saved Jewish woman, and to me that's a great thing. Two souls, they profess to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we're going to follow up with that Catholic guy, for sure. So that he was an interesting guy to talk to because he believed the Pope was a buffoon. And he was, you know what, these Catholics, if they do get saved, they still want to drag Mary along. So I'm like, I said, well, you do know First Timothy 2:5 that Jesus is our mediator, and the Holy Spirit is our intercessor in Jesus. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. He's sitting there. I said, you do know he's sitting next to God the Father. He's hearing our prayers. He's our mediator. You know, the man Christ Jesus. Well, he was kind of. But what happens is, though, I think the Catholics that get saved, or the Jewish folks that get saved, or even a Muslim, they drag some of their old religion with them. You can't beat them up too bad for that. You just sit them down and show them, if you can, what the Scripture has to say, you know, concerning their religious practices. So, but we didn't get to that point. But it's exciting to go to the door and open it. And he told us, he said, you guys are doing a great job. I really like what you're doing. I said, yeah, I know, but when we go next door, we're going to get, you know, kicked out off the porch. And which we never really have. We've had nothing but a good time in that community. And these folks opened their doors and let us dialogue with them and share the basic fast gospel with them. And then we always give them a track. I always give them a chick track. And then Robert's always there, or Thomas, with the turn over our church track and look at, you know, some Bible verses that explain how to get to heaven when you die. And then I always interject. I said, you do know that your soul is going to go up or down. And, you know, so it's a whole team practice, and we have a great time. And what those folks do, I always tell them, hey, you go back in the house and you pray. Get on your knees, sit on your couch, whatever, turn the TV off and ask God if those guys, are they crazy? Or are they, you know, I said, we're not JW, so don't get us confused. We're not a cult. Faith cometh by hearing. That's why I'd like you to come hear what the pastor has to say. You'll always get a gospel message, a salvation message, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, institute. I said, come. I just want a fellowship with you. You know, make these folks feel welcome. I said, you know how dark the world is. A lot of them, you know, they stand there and you know they're thinking. We had one guy Monday. Poor Tom. Tom went to try to hang a flyer on this guy's door, and he's fumbling with the screen door. And I didn't. Sometimes you can hear, you know, what's on the other side of the door—footsteps. And I'm deaf anyway. But Tom's fumbling, and this guy—he opens that door. He goes, you know, as hard as he could, the main entry door, and he's like almost jumped through the, you know. And I'm like, whoa! I said, you did that on purpose. You knew we were standing there fumbling with your door. And he kind of laughed. He said, what do you guys want? I said, we want to share the gospel with you. And after about 3 minutes, he calmed right down. He's a rough-looking guy, too. And he got to thinking, and we got to talking about sin, and he said, yeah, we're all sinners. I said, amen. Buddy, you're on the way. If you know you're a sinner, then that's the first step to getting saved. And he did listen, and you know, he took the tracts, and he's looking at them. I said, pray about that. Read that thing. Seriously. I said, you know, he's coming back soon, and where are you going to be? I said, I want to be ready now. I said, get ready now, brother. I said, these people don't understand. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. So, you know, try to impress that upon them. But it's great, man. The door, I've been having a blast with the doors. And for the last 6.5 years, you know, through this church, that's, I think for myself, it's become my personal mission. And again, associated with doors, I'm, you know, obsessed with doors, as you can very well see. So, but I just wanted to share that with you. The importance is for you, that I might encourage each and every one of you, be a door, be a doorway to Jesus Christ in any which way you can. Whether you're at Walmart, if you get that prompting by the Holy Spirit to give somebody a tract, that's a door. That's an open door policy. Our tracts, you know, the plan of salvation's on the back of them. It, for me, it's on the front, too. I explain to people, I said, the blackness? I said, that's the world we live in today. It's a black, dark world. I said, the blood of Jesus Christ save you from this darkness. And the white is the light that Jesus is in this dark world. I said, man, there's a message right there. And I said, but better yet, you know, and usually Thomas and Robert, they elaborate on the plan of salvation on the back of this thing. So, we like working a team as... It's a blast. We don't choreograph. We don't plan. All we do is pray. Pray before we go. I prayed today before that meal. I said, Lord, if there ain't someone here today in this restaurant, would you help us to be a light? And 10 minutes later, I got two of them sitting down. You know, and unfortunately, the devil was in the one of them. And that's okay, because it's still a work. I'll pray for her soul, and I'll pray for her salvation, the same as I did for that young man. But you know, by God's good grace, that young man, he encouraged me because he says, "I read them." I'm like, "Amen." Because I talked to the wife, I said, "I bet he takes them, throws them out, you know, or you know, in the wastebasket." And he said, "No, no, no." Today he said, "I read those tracts," and he said, and "then I pass them on." I'm like, "Amen." I said, "A lost man, you know, spreading the good news." But how do I know? Maybe he trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior from reading church. I don't know. But we will get to the bottom of that. But anyway, in our personal walk, the devil, that submittal and service, the devil, if he can't get your soul and get you damned to hell, you know, before you get saved, get you and keep you from getting saved. After you get saved, what he'll do, what he's devised is it's called organized religion. And the three main ones, the big ones, is the Roman Catholic Church, Islam, and we all know Islam's in the news today, and Judaism. And I had the expose of Judaism today. And the Lord, 2 days ago, studying for this message, he dropped another bomb or an expose on me. I wish we had a screen or something I could put this stuff up. It's good. It's good. It really is. The imagery, Brother Dairy Bear, he likes, we were talking about some of the imagery. Man, it's all in this stuff. And what this card is it's a remembrance of First Holy Communion. And believe it or not, I made my First Holy Communion in 1967. I was 8 years old. And I haven't, these are death cards. Everybody know what a death card is? It's some things they give you at the funerals. And I don't mean any disrespect. Trust me, I don't. Only problem is I've never been to too many saved people's funerals. We always take them. In my culture, in my family, my background, what we do is, you know, they're like collectibles. They're collector's cards. And what I did with them is I remember my grandpa, I remember his birthday, and then when he died, and then my aunt, same way. And then what I do is I correlate that information. I say, well, all the men in my family, they died between the ages of 70 and 75, my dad included. And it's like, well, I'm just trying to gauge how much time I got left. And I'm serious. You get a little older, you start thinking about, you know, I tell a lot of the older folks, do you ever think about what's going to happen when you die? I do. I did. I did when I was 10 years old. I knew I was going to hell. And they're like, well, I said, what a strange upbringing you had. I said, no, hell wasn't preached. You know, my mom said you can. There was white lies, brown lies, black lies. There's different degrees of lies. There's good lies, bad, white witchcraft, black magic, and all this other. You know, I'm serious. That's how I grew up, in a Catholic church. And with a Ouija board in my house at 10 years old and a little black eight balls for games. Yeah, that's how I grew up. And so anyway, I got these cards, and I was looking through a photo album. I have a shoebox full of pictures. Pastor Mike shows me a picture. I think it was about two or three weeks ago. He brings me a baby picture, and he's in the basement after church. He says, "Hey, look at this." And I'm looking at the picture, and the girl in the picture looked like Ava, and it was like, and I put my glasses on, and I'm like, I thought it was Ava with a Cabbage Patch doll. And I put my glasses. I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's you." I said, I'm sorry, brother. I'm blind. So I put my glasses on, and he said, "No, look at the face." I'm like, "Yeah, it's you." He said, "No, look at the face." I said, "Yeah, it looks like an old man, a crabby old man. It's a piercing blue eyes. It's Pastor Mike, only 1 year." I said, "Yeah." He said, "No, look, people think I'm always mad. I was born that way." I said, no, you're not mad. No, they don't think that. No, that's you." And I said, "I'm going to share a picture with you someday." And what I was looking for this week, I was looking for this picture. We're going to compare baby pictures. It says a lot about, pictures say a lot about where you've been. It's a snapshot of a time frame of your life. And I was looking for I had a baby picture of me. I was about a year or a year and a half old. I had one of them, what do you call them hats like the old Polish people wear, the golf beanie thing that my dad or my grandpa put that on. I had a cigarette in my mouth, unlit. And I think there was a beer sitting next to me, and I was sitting in a little baby blanket type. And I was, you know, I had the cigarette up, and I was smiling. I was wanting to share that with them. I said, "This is my background." I didn't stand a chance. That was the traditions of my family, smoking and drinking and bowling. It's like, you know, amen. So, but I was looking for that picture, and the Lord dropped two death cards in my commute. Well, this was a death card too. But I never read these. I don't know if you, I've been to a lot of funerals, and every one of them's, They got a really super spiritual picture. This is Caucasian, pretty Jesus. You know, and this is Madonna of the Rosary. And they're all adorned in gold. She's got 12 gold stars overhead. And this one, my communion one, they got the Lord's Supper, which is the premise of the heart of the Mass. And they got, Jesus has a gold halo around his head, and down below what represents the first Holy Communion, and the priest has a gold halo, and he's got a bunch of gold, and gold represents deity. He's got a gold halo, and it's like, I never looked at that. I never noticed that. So this priest takes on the deity of my Lord and Savior. I was insulted, actually. I'm like, you dirty scoundrels. It's like, you know, damn, they're the thieves and the robbers that Jesus was calling the Pharisees. The religion today, the thieves and the robbers, they're robbing people from their salvation. My message, the wake-up call is after you get, do something for the Lord. Come on, wake up. Souls are at stake. In the guise of religion, I'm going to read you the prayer. I want you all to listen to this prayer on the back of this card, this death card. It says communion prayer. Listen, my Lord Jesus Christ, I firmly believe that I am about to receive in communion your body, your blood, your soul, and your divinity. I believe it because you said it, and I am ready to give my life to maintain this truth. I was 8 years old. That's a scary prayer, is it not? All I receive from my Savior is His grace and His mercy, and not His justice. I'm so thankful that He loved me enough to send His only begotten. What does it have to do? I received the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't. Okay, we'll leave that one go. Think about that one. My dead grandpa, who died in 1981, unsaved. He was an unsaved drunk. Religion? He got buried through a Catholic church. That's all I get. There's no, none. So here's the prayer on the back of this card. And this is the one with the Madonna. And you know what Madonna means? It's in Italian, it means My Lady. And the rosary, do you guys know what a rosary is? It's a set of prayer beads that somehow they worship, you know, I don't even know. I went to the Catholic Church. I grew up in it, went to Catholic school for, I never did figure out the rosary. I dismantle them now. I had a bunch from my dead relatives, and I take them apart. And if there's a cross, I take Jesus off the cross and just keep maybe the cross throw it in my jewelry box. So I dismantle those rosaries because I believe they're an abomination. I don't have to sit and listen to a man recite incantations and that. I pray to God. We pray to God before this message. I'll pray on the way home. I pray all day long. I talk to my Savior and God Almighty through Jesus Christ. I ain't gotta go through no prayer. You know what prayer beads too? You better watch some other religions. I don't know about Islam. They might. I don't pay too much attention. But in the Eastern mysticism, and maybe I know there's some of them. You watch the robes. Watch what they're wearing. Beads are incorporated. Come on, where's some beads in here? Find them. I'm going to use these. I'm going to use these at the door. I promise you. I just wanted to share them with you. Listen to this prayer. Oh, gentlest heart of Jesus, ever present in the blessed sacrament. And the sacrament is that worship of the wafer God. Ever consumed with burning love for the poor captive souls in purgatory. Have mercy on thy soul, on the soul of thy departed servant. My grandfather wasn't a servant. He's departed, but he wasn't. You know what he did? You know what he did? What my fondest memory? He served Canadian Club whiskey to himself every time he came over to the house. He was a self-server. So that's my fondest memory of my grandpa. That grandpa. The other one was a drunk too. So he just stayed quietly drunk to himself and never even, hi, Davey. So that's my relationship with my grandfathers. But I'm thankful because some of you here today I have great fellowship with. God will provide you a grandfather or a mentor or someone to bond with. Nothing greater than this family unit right here. You know, my family, hey, what can I do about it? Well, do like, you know, you could pray for the dead. It's like, that's what these are. They're prayers for the dead. to the dead, by the dead, and the rest of the prayer. For the poor captive souls in purgatory, have mercy on the soul of thy departed servant. Be not severe in thy judgment, but let some drops of thy precious blood, listen, let some drops of thy precious blood fall upon the devouring flames, and do thou, O merciful Savior, send thy angels to conduct thy departed servant to a place of refreshment, light, and peace. And let some drops of thy precious blood fall upon the devouring. So purgatory is a place of devouring flames. What is it by Luke 16? What did Jesus, 75% of his dialogue was negative, and he warned of hell. I don't so many times it's, and people don't believe, but so you're telling me that when people die they go after completing the seven sacraments in that religion, that doesn't include the tenets of Islam and Judaism. The Orthodox Jews got to keep the law. And Jesus said, the law is nullified by me showing up. I am the law, the new law of grace. And they rejected their Messiah. And Islam, like Catholicism, oh, it's all the same God. That's what our president will say, and Hillary Clinton and a bunch of the rest of our politicians. It's all the same God. They're religious. Let them practice their religion. It's like, practice their religion. People die and go to hell by this. What kind of, the precious blood? That's isn't that a blood sacrifice, an offering, a blood sacrifice? Just reading this, it just blew my mind, and it's like, my goodness, if I'd have read these prayers, which I never did till this week, I don't know how it would have. It affected me negatively enough now. Now I'm going to use these. These are hand grenades. So, we'll beware. And here's the last one. My aunt, this Caucasian pretty Jesus. He don't have blue eyes, but he is a Caucasian. And listen to this prayer. Now this is one of I don't want to name names, but these New Age, the televangelists, especially the pretty one that I don't want to badmouth them. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And the Rick Warren. I'll mention his name. But there's another one that's really super pretty. He promotes the prosperity gospel and that self-help gospel. And his wife just come on. I seen a little clip of it on YouTube about made me sick about, God doesn't mind anything you do. You can just do whatever you want to do. Again, be your own God. And we've been through that. The Bible's full of that. So I want to share this. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. Now, doesn't that sound, that sounds like, that sounds pretty good, especially to an unsaved person or to just a religious person. Wow, that's profound. Here's the last sentence. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Is that a salvation message? I think not. Here, we'll go back to verse 27 and verse 28 in John chapter 10. You don't have to go there. I'll read them, but just recap. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We know the Lord's voice because he makes us aware of his presence. Every time the pastor opens a book, and I hope tonight that you get a little something. And I know for me personally, my relationship with Jesus Christ, the foundation is my prayer life, this book, this church, and the fellowship thereof, and the preaching of the true word. So upon death, I can, without all this, I can still receive eternal life. Okay. And, this prayer was penned by St. Francis of Assisi. And that's one of those great patron saints of that church. So, but anyway, back in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In verse 28, here we go. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen and amen. There's a verse right there that explains eternal security for those of you that want to study the scriptures and want a pen, or like I do, I take notes and I'll write notes every verse with that topic, eternal security, in it. And that's how I learn. That's how I'm wired. Pastor Mike, I wish I could remember and just absorb like he does. I just, unfortunately, I can't. But I do with notes. Extensive handwritten notes. Old school. That's just me. I do use a tablet for cross-reference purposes, just so that you know I'm not totally ignorant. But what I do is I'll have the Webster's, and then I got the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, and then I got another Smith's Dictionary. You know, you can actually tab them all out, and you can compare Scripture a lot quicker than getting a concordance out. So it's just a tool. I know that it's a devil's workplace, but if it's Bible focused and if your source is true and pure to the best of your knowledge, it's good to go. It helps me. It's like bam. And don't tell the pastor. Please. I don't know if he's going to listen if this is streaming, but please, because he thinks I don't know what Bluetooth is, and a few of the other hookups, and it's like, yeah, I know, I'm just pleasingly ignorant. So, but don't tell him. So the surrender, submittal, and I want to share one verse with you on submittal, because if you think I just pulled surrender, submit, and serve out of my hat, or to talk about these subjects, no, it's scripture. James 4. Verse 7, you don't have to turn there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Service, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is it? I don't want to sacrifice. You know, you're thinking of the Old Testament blood sacrifices and animal sacrifice. Not so. This here, this flesh, this vessel that carries your new spirit, use it for the Lord. Step out. You don't have to do great things. You don't have to be Billy Sunday. I'm not Billy Sunday. Why the pastor asked me up here, I have no clue. I consider it a great privilege. Just what I'm not preaching. You guys can call it what you want. I'm sharing with you what the Lord shared with me. And my purpose and the intent thereof is to edify you, to build you up, to encourage you, that what you do, great and small, matters. It matters in heaven. We think, well, I never led anybody to Christ. And there's more to the Christian life and the Christian walk than those notches on a belt. You know, if that's how you see fit, if you think that's how you're going to be measured and that alone, you're sadly mistaken. It's the intents of your heart. Get that head, heart, and hands. I like to use that with the kids. If we could get 33% and a third, and then 33 and a third percent here in the head and the heart, we'd be a perfect, that's that mature, perfect Christian. That's what I aspire. I want that whole package. I want it all usable and not have too much heart, not enough head, no hands. That won't do the Lord any good. You'll end up sitting on a couch reading a lot, you know, if you're too intellectual or so on and so forth. So, I just wanted to encourage you with that and present, again, your body a living sacrifice. Christ sacrificed himself. I use the illustration all the time at the door. I said, he let himself be nailed for you, for me, to that cross. I said, and he didn't struggle. He gave himself freely. What are you going to do with that? You know, serious business. I take it serious. I love Jesus Christ. This church, just a profound change in my life. I love my wife. I love my kids. My son-in-law is sitting in church. I was drinking with him in a bar as a saved man 12 years ago or whatever it was, 10 years ago. I was a horrible influence to him. Lord thumped me on the head, took an eye out to get me here. I'm a hoghead, so don't be like me. Be the best man, woman, or child that the Lord will have you to be. Everybody can be used of the Lord. Everybody. Everybody sitting here. I want to encourage that. That's the whole point of this message. Salvation, best day of my life. It's eternal. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget my Savior. I'll never thank him enough for it. But now let's get to work in this dark day. I'm encouraged. He encouraged me by this nonsense. It's like, you know what? Oh, it's on now. I'm carrying this stuff right in my travel Bible. And I'm going to ask if I meet a Catholic. If I made a Jade, I'll say, how come some of these religions, they promote a fallacy on these little blessing cards or prayer cards, whatever they are, for the dead? Number one, I want to ask, is your religion? Or do you, here's mine. Here, I got mine. Let's compare this with this. One's confusion. This is not this. If this and this don't go together, one's wrong. And I, you know, that's, there we go. Here. Actually, get off the pulpit. It's like, I'm done. So, no, that being said, no, amen and amen. So that being said, I'm going to conclude here. The door of faith, next time the pastor asks me up here, this just goes on and on, you know, just with the door of faith. But it's all good Bible study. And, you know, I get excited by doors, as you can very well tell. But in conclusion, again, just please consider yourself, you know, a useful tool in the Lord's hand. He will use you if you submit and you're willing to serve. Oh, I don't want to because I don't want to go to Uganda. It's like, no, I thought that for a minute. And then even now, I said, well, Lord, if there's a need and Ramona and Andrew can come, you know, and so be it. I'll go. I'm not going to argue at this point. I'm not arguing anymore. I did that. That's what caused me to backslide. I thought, I'm going to do religion. No, it didn't work. Don't go there. That door, you can go in and out. And once you have pastor, and you got that pastor in the book, in your Savior, in Jesus Christ, in this local church, and with confidence, you can go out into the world. Don't go back to the world. You got to go out into it to do His work. Take these and go. Go ye. And I'll finish on that note. Brother Tom, would you conclude the service with a word of prayer, please? Yes. Please, Lord, please. Please. Every day. Yes.